everyone. Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast. This is episode 18.
Woo!
In what is hopefully going to be a long and drawn out series. I am your host, Aaron Roden.
Whoa,
welcome to my show.
Away.
Thanks for downloading us here. You have a very wonderful, beautiful iPod. Of course, this is the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your ear holes. So we got a special show for you tonight. Of course, this is going to be kind of a Halloween episode. We've got a couple good things, scary things to talk about tonight. We just went out and saw the new Wes Craven flick, which is My Soul to Take, and we have a little review for you. We also have an Air Raid headline that we'd like to bring your way. And then we're going to talk about our top five scariest movie picks with our special guest, Krista Meyer, and other very special guest, the producer slash wife of the show, Mairead KG Roden, is here with us.
Oh yeah, so, I like this idea.
Yeah, so it's been a fun week, and I have to say, you know, we got a lot of good feedback on our last episode 17 with Planned Brotherhood, PJ and Nick Allers of Planned Brotherhood. Thank you guys so much for coming on. That was a lot of fun. And hopefully we'll get them on again. Kind of a lot of stuff has been going on in the week that we haven't gotten to talk about. I mean, the Chilean miners got rescued, right? That's a big deal. That's a big deal. Everybody knows about that. You know what? You weren't supposed to say anything, Krista, but now you're talking to me here.
No, Kelly Clarkson.
So why don't we just bring you on here? Move in a little closer on that mic.
Now I'm quiet.
Yeah. And Mairead, say hi to everybody.
Hello.
Welcome to the show, ladies. So we had a little bit of a, we had this plan. We were going to bring the ladies from the lake, also known as the Lesbi Friends, also known as the Murder of Lesbians, or Gaggle of Ladies, whatever you want to call yourself. We had this plan. We were going to bring you all back on the show because really, and this is something that I haven't told you yet, is that we got a lot of good feedback from when you guys were on the show.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we did. And we got a lot of requests to bring you guys back.
Shut up.
And so...
So you whittled it down to your favorite lesbian.
Right. Well, yeah, so that didn't happen.
Apparently lesbians are also flaky.
Lesbians apparently are very flaky, and that is not good for the gay community. Let me tell you, because
no.
We need you guys out and proud right now.
That's right.
And you're...
Well, the lesbians, true to their names, are at home on the couch with their honeys.
Yeah.
And their many animals.
And their pet dogs.
Yeah.
And cats.
I bet falling asleep as we speak.
I bet they fell asleep about an hour ago. It's only 9:30 p.m. on Saturday night.
PJs on.
Right.
Slippers.
Right. Camo PJs, of course. Because that's what lesbians... That's how lesbians roll.
Some North Face. Zippy vests.
Right. Totally. Well, it's good to have you on anyway.
Yeah,
we had a couple cancellations here.
But
we're happy to have you here. So, like I said, we've got a review, a movie review for everybody, and I made this nice little special sound drop that we're going to play that I'm very proud of with the help of the Android app. The text-to-speech app. And, so why don't we just kind of jump right in and kind of get things rolling here. But first, before we do that, I just got to say we went to Raid. You and I went to the High Dive the other night, which is a club here in Seattle, in the Fremont neighborhood. And we saw our friends Kirby Crackle, the band Kirby Crackle, played at the High Dive the other night.
And they were awesome.
Yeah, they were very good. But there was this guy. There was this this I don't know. You know, we were just talking about this before. What would you call it? Hip hop, rap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but
you want to elaborate
little...
on that?
I believe
mixed with a little
'90s.
Yeah,
early '90s kind of
'90s rap.
Rap, right?
Kind of like Fresh Prince type.
Okay.
Styly.
Yeah. But it was good. It was good. The guy calls himself Beefy, right? And he's a self proclaimed, like, what did he call it? He called it nerd rap or geek hop or something like that.
Yeah, I can't remember. It was one of those.
Nerd core, I think they call it, maybe.
I have to say, this is like ping pong. He's watching you two with this discussion.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting, huh?
There was one thing that we told Krista not to say before the show, and that was ping pong. You weren't supposed to mention ping pong at all during this show. Think you just fucked it up. You just fucked it up.
Are you off your fucking meds or something? No.
Yeah. I mean, we're married, you know. That's kind of what happens, you know. That's how we roll.
Mommy and daddy are fighting.
And right. So yeah, whatever you want to call it, Beefy was kind of this like nerd hip hop. He sang a lot about like video games and everything. And we met him, or I met him the other night on Thursday, and a very cool guy. I think he's from the Tri-Cities is where he said he was hailing from.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, great stuff. And we're going to actually be featuring his music tonight. And he gave us the okay to play his music so we can play the whole song, which is amazing. We can't get sued for it, hopefully, because it was a verbal contract. So we'll see. But let's get right into the thick of shit here. Let's start out with our air raid headline here. Okay, so first headline of the night, and only headline of the night, I should say, I guess. So, you guys, I kind of ran through this story with you before. There is a city near Seattle called Bellevue, and they have a community college there. And this community college was holding an anger management class that was being kind of put on by the court system, I guess you could say. And so the court was renting this classroom out at the Bellevue Community College. And we just like to clarify that because some of the news stories have been saying that it was an actual Bellevue Community College class, and they wanted to...
I'm glad you have integrity.
Yeah, right. I'm officially a part of the press now. I don't know if you've heard.
No.
Yeah.
I'm excited by that.
I'm not, actually. I was lying. But anyway, there's this anger management class that they hold at the at Bellevue Community College, and the other day on I believe the 14th of October, which was Thursday, they were showing a anger management video by Dr. Phil in this class, and a 19-year-old woman by the name of Fariba Maradiaga was sitting near the back of the classroom, and she made a comment that this video sucks. And another woman, younger woman, turned around and said, why don't you just give this video a chance? Well, Fariba did not like that, and she got up with a 3-inch blade and proceeded to stab this other woman 3 or 4 times in front of the class, the whole class, sitting there staring at this happening. And so this is a great great moment in ironic history, don't you think? It's amazing, absolutely amazing. I was when I heard this story, I was like, please. I guess I was super happy that it happened.
Why?
I don't know. I mean, it was just so funny.
I did not feel happy when I heard that story. Just gonna throw that out there.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, yeah.
I mean, there was a stabbing.
Yeah, it was, and I guess it's not good for the lady that got stabbed, right?
No, she's just trying to look on the bright side. Look what happened.
Right, she's probably super pissed off.
She's probably really angry.
Yeah, and yeah, she's probably screaming Kelly Clarkson right now from her hospital bed.
Wow, I wonder what the other people in the class did.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it doesn't really say. Like, it says somewhere in this this article, this is from the Seattle Times, that the teacher kind of detained the woman, and then police came and picked her up. I wonder, I mean, what do you do in that situation? You just sit there and, like, watch somebody get stabbed right in front of you.
I wonder at what point in the Dr. Phil video it happened, too. Do you think the video was still going?
Probably.
Background.
Yeah, yeah. It'd be, you know, that would be like a great scene in a movie too, because like you could like play it like Dr. Phil could be talking about like, you know, feeling like stabbing somebody while this woman is just going. And by the way, 3 inches, man, that's a 3-inch blade. How do you even get that into?
Well,
no, dude, it's probably like that. 3 inches like that. This is great radio, by the way, because we're measuring. Yeah, yeah.
Maybe she had it in her hair.
In her boot. She baked a cake and brought it in with her. It's like prison. Well, she, yeah, she sounds kind of nuts, and I don't know. I mean, just reading this story, it was like, I mean, that is the definition of irony.
You know what's great though? I can tell you that she is probably not a lesbian. She's not one of ours.
Are you sure about that?
How do you know
betting?
That?
Because she's not sitting at home on her couch right now with her four dogs. Yeah, yeah. No, she's taking shit into her own hands. She is, maybe she thinks she's cleansing the earth. I don't know.
Didn't she say you looked up her Facebook page?
I did. Yeah, I did. I looked up her Facebook page. She, well, I mean, there's two girls on the picture, and we're not gonna link to this picture at all, so.
So you have to Google the name that's in the news on your own.
Yeah, right. And that is Fariba Maridiaga. So look it up.
I'm sure
we'll all be able to. Right, right. Yeah. But no, it only showed one picture, and it was like.
She had a 3-inch blade.
Right. She's holding a machete. Yeah, right, right. Yeah. Yeah. She was wearing a hockey mask.
The blade said vengeance.
Yeah, it said vengeance on it. Oh, well played. Well played.
Segue
right into my soul to take. No, but just kind of a crazy story that I ran across and that a lot of kind of local radio hosts have been talking about. And I'm definitely not the first podcast host to talk about this in the Seattle area.
I bet you are the first podcast host to talk about my soul to take, though.
I hope so.
Because
I hope so.
It was so fucking
good.
Marie and scary.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. So, okay. Well, let's get right into this, because obviously we have a lot to say about this movie. So
I'm trying to think of a good, like, my soul to take a nap. My soul to take. Like, what's a good ending for that? My soul to take to a different scary movie.
I think
my soul to take Kristen Aaron to the back and smoke him.
I would just like to say that this movie kind of made my soul want to take a shit on my chest. My soul wanted to give me a hot Carl.
Yuck.
And I'm, you know, I don't know. I'm a little peeved that we even went to see it, or that I thought that it could even be good. You know, because
they didn't even utilize the 3D aspect. It was like
not
a
really
normal movie.
Okay, you know what we did not do is we got to do the, because this is going to be a segment on the show, so we have to actually play the intro, and so. It's only one lesbian friend. Mm-hmm. Just keep that in mind.
At the movies with the lesbian friends.
So now we can officially start the segment. Okay. Oh. So now.
I was so confused.
Yes. We're fresh back from seeing My Soul to Take in 3 dimensions. Mm-hmm. This is the new Wes Craven movie.
One.
Yeah. And we found out. Yeah, right. We found out today that this was a limited opening of the movie.
Now
so,
I know why.
Right, right. It was when does it open in the rest of the theaters around the country?
October
29th. Okay, mm-hmm. Yeah. And right, I don't even think it should be released in the rest of the country.
Straight to DVD.
Yeah,
straight to
everybody
DVD.
Everybody would be way too scared.
Right.
It's too scary.
So
the best part of the movie was seeing Mairead out of the corner of my eye, sinking into her seat every time. Like the scary movie or the scary music would come on and you knew that something was about to happen. Rage was.
She would. She would pull up her collar on her jacket and kind of fold it around her face because she was so freaked out.
Because it was a scary movie.
Well,
just because they say it's a scary movie
doesn't mean that it's actually scary. It's actually scary. So let's give the good listeners of the Air Raid podcast a little background on the movie. Mm-hmm. Would you like to give the synopsis here?
Sure.
Lesbian friend Krista?
Yes. So the premise is that there's this schizophrenic, well, actually a multiple personality disorder, which is different from schizophrenia.
Right.
I might
thank you
say.
For remembering that word, by the way, that I could not remember earlier today. Multiple.
It's a hard one.
So he had multiple personality disorder, apparently, and then he didn't realize that one of his personalities was killing people with this knife that said vengeance on it. And he tries to stop himself, but he can't. And then on that night, he ends up killing his wife, and 7 children are born at the same time, and his soul, like, splits.
In the town.
Seven
children
yeah.
are born in Riverton, wherever.
Yes.
California,
all these children
whatever.
Were also premature by months, so he, like... They all went into labor, or all their moms went into labor, so he could put pieces
yes.
of his soul into them.
So they each crazy. Have an aspect of his personality.
Scary.
Like one of them is
very
really
scary.
Religious, one of them is really macho, whatever. And then the whole movie proceeds to mimic Scream, we decided. It's basically
right.
Scream.
Right.
With a river.
Yeah, with a river in a town called Riverton.
Yeah, and it was so, like, I don't know, it was such a setup. And they had so many plot points going that you couldn't even really tell where they wanted you to go to think, like, who is the killer. And then the killings were, I don't know, am I that jaded? Like, I need more than just a stabbing to get me scared?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I kind of felt the same way. We've talked about this before we started the show. And, yeah, it just seemed so kind of formulaic. And, you know, and a lot of those movies are, and I think I expected that when we went into it. I really did, like the formula kind of thing, you know, because it is a Wes Craven. We're not kidding ourselves here. I mean, this is the guy that made Scream. Although I will say that Scream was done in a way that it was kind of meta a little bit because, you know, they did it as like they were horror movie buffs. That were doing all this stuff that they see in horror movies and cheesy horror movie films. So it like made it, you know, in a way it was so meta that it was kind of, you know, it was making fun of itself a little bit. And, well, at least the initial Scream movie was anyway. But yeah, I mean, they really did. It was a remake of Scream. I mean, it was pretty much the same premise. It was the same age kids. You know, everybody was in high school. And by the way, this is something that I brought up earlier, too. When the movie started and they started, like, introducing all the characters, they looked really, really young to me. And I don't know if that's just because I'm getting older. And, like, if I went back and I actually watched, like, you know, the first Nightmare on Elm Street or like the first Scream movie, like would they look as young as they did in this movie to
they
me?
They didn't look that young to me.
Well, and you're really into like
maybe it's
because
I wasn't attracted
girls,
to any of them.
So.
Maybe that's why.
Right,
it's
right.
Like, God, these girls have to be in their early 20s.
Right. What did you think, Ray? Did they look kind of young to you?
I think like they looked like they were in high school. I thought they looked completely appropriate for their parts.
Huh.
And I also thought the movie was really scary.
Because your face looks like a vagina.
Did any of their faces look like vaginas?
Unfortunately not. Well, after the killing.
Maybe.
Her neck.
Oh,
kind of
her neck
like,
looked
her
like a vagina. Yeah, you could. It was like period vagina.
Yeah.
Yuck.
Super hot.
And that is disgusting.
I do have to say the scariest part of the evening for me was actually after the movie when I went into the bathroom. And there was a shit smear on the seat. And I thought, really? Ladies, how does this happen? I understand if guys do it.
Right,
how
right.
How do girls get...
So why do you understand if guys do it?
Because guys are gross.
True.
And
they get like shit stains in their underwear all the time, right? And so like that's maybe they're just not used to wiping. And so they don't wipe as
and
well.
And so they wipe it on the toilet seat.
I think most of that though... Okay.
And why I'm like, you know that little...
Because
like,
they're hovering.
Inch.
They're hovering. They're hovering over the toilet
like
seat.
It's like on the quarter inch like ledge, you know, under the back of the seat. When you look at the toilet, that's the part that you see. That's where it was. It wasn't on the... How do you do that?
I don't know. It's disgusting.
Oh, man.
She was obviously so was hovering. She didn't want to get herpes from the toilet seat. And she was hovering over it and pooping. And it sounds to me like a little log may have just kind of plopped right down on the toilet seat. And then she went with her handful of toilet paper and like swiped it off and then cleaned off what she saw.
You know popcorn's and then really she missed. Fibrous, right? Like it,
right. Well, she was probably a kernel eater, so yeah.
Why does that
I didn't want to go down this road on this episode.
No poop. Well,
but we always do. We always do. I already brought it up.
No, Kelly Clarkson.
So in the movie, don't bother. And can I just bring up again? Why was it in 3D? Nothing flew out at us. Nothing.
I gotta say though, no.
Nothing.
And I think because this movie was done, the 3D was obviously done in post. Mm. Like it wasn't shot with a 3D camera because there was no scenes that were like explicitly for 3D. Mm-hmm. Like you just said, there was no like, you know, hands jutting out or anything like that. Oh, and by the way, in the preview, they show this scene where like a hand is like coming through the wall of the kid's bedroom. Like pushing through like the sheetrock, you know, where it's like it looks like the wall is like rubber and like this ghostly hand comes through.
Really?
I haven't.
Yeah, really. In the preview. But it wasn't. It was not in the movie at all. I love those scenes though. Those are like freaky scenes.
Yes.
You know, that may have like.
They did in the very beginning. The baby hand was like pressing through.
Right. That was kind of gross.
That was kind of gross. That was like the worst part of the movie.
Yeah.
I did mention to Mairead when we were watching the previews, because there's so many ads when you go to see a 3D film. There's
oh my
so
God,
ads
yeah.
for other 3D films. Mm-hmm. And I thought, wouldn't it be great if they did, because they're always action oriented, but what if they did a 3D movie of like a romance? And I told Mairead, like, what if someone's throwing something into the trash and everyone's like, oh
my God.
Or like you see like
that lovelet.
The fall leaves are falling.
Right. That love letter almost hit me in the face.
When they kiss, their spit just flies at you. That's what I want to see.
Well,
do a step up in 3D. I'm just going to say that.
But it's
really
still
kind of
action.
Yes.
You know, why don't they do just like some two lesbians on a couch?
Oh, no. You.
Once in a while
okay,
you
you're speaking
a
my language now. Like, they'd be naked, right? They'd be dyking out. We've had this conversation before. Like, I think that they're going to start making 3D porno.
Oh, my God, that would be good.
Oh, they're totally going to do it, though. Yeah. I mean, you see that coming, right?
That's what she said.
Ah, let me get this. That was my room shot. So I think, you know what? I'm a stickler for 3D movies. And I think, Raid, you are too, right? You enjoy the 3D.
Fall for the gimmick.
Yeah, we fall for the gimmicks on that one.
Too.
And I think, I mean, it makes it kind of fun. You know, it's definitely a little bit more engrossing, right? Mm-hmm. It gets you kind of into, especially a movie that's like actually filmed for 3D, like How to Train Your Dragon or something like that. That was like one
it
of
was
those.
Really cute.
I think, was that Pixar or Disney? Was it Pixar? Okay. And it was, I mean, it was done really, really well. Like, the 3D was done really well. And it's like one of those animated films and stuff. And I was talking to Jim DeMonacos at the Kirby Crackle Show. And he was saying that Toy Story 3 was really good with the 3D also. So that's something we might need to see. But I really enjoy it. Like, we were kind of having this discussion the other night at High Dive, like, you know, because they're planning on re-releasing the Star Wars movies in 3D.
The original ones?
Yeah, yeah. Like, all of them.
Really?
Yeah, right. And I thought, you know, like, a lot of people are kind of pissed off about it. They're like, mm-hmm. quit messing with my Star Wars, you know? Which
don't go see it.
Which I agree to a certain extent. But it's like, you know, it just, like, kind of reinvigorates me to go and check it out again, you know? And, like...
Well, it's a... marketing tool.
Oh, it's totally, yeah. I mean, yeah, that's all George Lucas has been doing for like the last, like, you know, 20 years, 30 years of his life. And, you know, just redoing these Star Wars movies and adding things into the original movies, which kind of suck. But, I mean, the 3D stuff, I just love it. Mm-hmm. I can't get enough of it. And I love seeing movies like that. And I think, you know, at some point I'll probably be buying a 3D television once it like gets a little cheaper and stuff. Because really, who comes over here to watch a movie anymore? You know, you don't have to have like 12 glasses, you know, just to watch a movie with your friends because we have no friends. So
maybe it's because you only invite them over to watch lesbian porn.
That could be part of the problem, actually. Yeah.
I'll come over.
I know you will. Yeah, yeah. Kathy and Heather are probably, they'll probably
fall asleep
on the couch. Yeah, with their dog Chip. Well, I think this is a good spot to take our first break. We are going to go to a beefy song here. And like I said, Beefy can be found all over the place, man. Let's see. We got a CD right here. You can go to beefiness.com. That's BEEFYNESS.com. You can email him at beefiness@gmail.com. So check this guy out. Pretty good stuff. We're going to go. This is off of his album With Sprinkles. It's his latest and greatest. And this song is the first track on With Sprinkles called Up, Up, and Away. And we will be back in just 1 second. I just step away from hate. So people will communicate, but even more congratulating. I just want to regulate and speak about the love that I get at all the clubs and all my friends around the world. Had I known what I started in the grade of 8, the words that I was writing would allow my type to celebrate, then I wouldn't try so hard to write some rotten rap. Jesse D wouldn't be proud of me for sure, matter of fact. But still too often I feel like a piece of crap. Everything I do is lame and I'm just slipping through the cracks. But then I look up and remember that I'm lucky. Got my baby, got my mama, got my nugget, and they love me. Let me take you far away, up, up, and away. Yo, I could try to make you smile, maybe brighten your day. Balloon flight, no more fighting, step away from the hate, and we can have a better day. Up, up, and away. Let me take you far away, up, up, and away. Yo, I could try to make you smile, maybe brighten your day. Balloon flight, no more fighting, step away from the hate, and we can have a better day. Up, up, and away. That I focus on the smile. I finally see the sun cause it's been winter for a while. In my style, well I don't know, well I suppose could take me further than my teacher's mind. I thought the beefy will not flip a burger. It's 2010, now you've been in distress. I walk away from that mess and I won't settle for less. Cause I live the floor and rock the show and get some dough. I sit alone just on the floor, I shut the door, the rock some more. So no more will I deal with the nonsense. You brag about hotness and it's making me nauseous. Big ups to my European disc jocks, gurgles with the knee socks, my baby wearing flip flops, and every person that supported rolling doubles. Sit back with the sprinkles, let it take away your troubles. Relax with your headphones on and kick your feet up. Beefy Thompson would get bullied, now the bully's getting beat up. Let me take you far away, up, up, and away. Yo, I could try to make you smile, maybe brighten your day. Balloon flight, no more fighting, step away from the hate, and we can have a better day. Up, up, and away. Let me take you far away, up, up, and away. Yo, I could try to make you smile, maybe brighten your day. Balloon flight, no more fighting, step away from the hate, and we can have a better day. Up, up, and away. All right, we're back. That was Beefy with Up, Up, and Away off of his album, his new album, With Sprinkles. And yeah, you can probably find him on MySpace. I haven't tried yet, but he's probably on there somewhere. But really cool guy. You guys should check him out. Like I was super impressed with this album. And yeah, please check it out for Beefy's sake. So we're back with you. We've got Krista Meyer and our other very special guest, the wife/producer of the show, Mairead KG Roden. So we came up with this idea a couple weeks ago when we were trying to get the lesby friends back on the show, and
which worked out
splendidly. And we came up with this idea because it is October. We're closing in on Halloween. We wanted to do the top five horror movies of all time, or top five scariest movies. And
to us.
Yeah, right to us. And let me give you a little disclaimer here for the listeners out there. This is like the top five scariest movies for, you know, that have actually frightened the shit out of you, right? they've scared you enough to where like you go to bed at night and you're dreaming about this stuff and you can't sleep, or it's kind of like messed you up in some aspect of your life where you're afraid of water, or you're afraid of like ghosts jumping out of the closet, or you're afraid of the dark, stuff like that. So it's not really horror, the horror genre as a whole. Like you could have, you know, if we were doing the top five horror movies of all time, I would suspect that, you know, there'd be Hitchcock films in there and everything like that. I hope I didn't give too much away saying that there's no Hitchcock films that have been included on these lists. So what we're going to do here, ladies, is we're going to go through and we're all going to kind of name our number five and kind of go through that and talk about them a little bit, all the way down to our number one picks of the top five horror movies of all time. Okay. So Rady, why don't you start out here?
Okay. Well, first of all, I was just called into the podcast earlier today and I thought that you had asked me to pull together my list of top five horror movies. So misunderstood.
Four. Ooh. Well, okay. Okay. Okay.
So I'm just going to stick with my list. I know. Yeah.
But you have a list.
I do,
you have
and
a list.
This actually works out better because I don't really like horror movies, so I wouldn't have had any anyway.
Obviously, since you were scared at that movie that we just saw tonight, that was not scary.
I was scared because it was scary.
So basically every movie would be the scariest movie to you. Yeah.
Pretty much.
Right, right. Okay, so what's your number five for top horror movies then?
Pretty Woman.
Pretty Woman, okay. Perfect, perfect. She was a whore.
Yep.
That's it. Yeah, okay, okay.
And it was also the first rated R movie I ever saw, so that was really exciting.
Wow. Oh, excellent. Mm-hmm.
It
excellent.
Stuck with me.
Wonderful.
Did you kind of want to be a prostitute after it? Did you think it was glamorous?
It was pretty glamorous, so yeah.
I think
it's kind of like how every time I hang out with you, Krista, I feel like I want to be a lesbian.
I have that effect on
me. Right, right. okay, so you're number five, so let's back to...
My number five non-horror.
Non-horror movies, right.
Horror
right.
Uh-huh. Film is, drumroll, Let the Right One In.
Let the Right One In.
Yes.
Okay, the Swedish version of...
Yes, the original.
The original of what is coming out now, the American version is
yeah,
Let Me In,
right?
Which
I'm excited to see. I've heard really good things, that they did a good job of translating it to American film.
Really?
Yeah, they didn't fuck it up too much.
Well, I heard that they kind of made it a little bit more gory, too, though.
Oh,
that like, could be. Yeah, I mean, they definitely Americanized it, that's for sure.
Yeah. But I really like that film because it surprised me. You know, vampire movies, I've seen them all. And in this one, there were elements to it that I had always wondered, like, what does happen if a vampire comes into your house and you didn't invite them? And to see, not to give it away, but to see her reaction.
Yeah, and that's kind of like, old vampire lore, too. Like, that comes from, like, that you know, quote-unquote rule for vampires, like, comes in way, way long ago. I think it was, like, Nosferatu or something like that. That was kind of, or Bram Stoker's Dracula is where that kind of started.
Bram Stoker's?
Not Bram Stoker's. Who's the guy that wrote Dracula?
I thought it was Bram Stoker.
Was it Bram Stoker? Yeah.
Oh, I'm thinking of the movie version of Bram Stoker's Dracula, which is the one with Winona Ryder and Keanu Reeves.
There's a lot of titties in that movie, and that is awesome.
But also one other thing about this movie, it's one of the few films, so I definitely thought about it afterwards, but also it's one of the few films where I wanted the killer to kill people, because I really wanted her, because I liked that she was picking on the bullies.
Yeah, spoiler alert. Yeah.
But she made a friend with this kid who was picked on, and she looked out for him, and even though she was evil.
Can I say too, though, like when Raid and I just watched that movie just earlier this week, it was a great movie. You liked it too, right, Raid?
Yeah, I thought it was great.
Yeah. Did you think it was scary?
No, I didn't think it was scary.
Oh,
yeah.
Snap.
Mm-hmm.
See, I don't think, I wasn't really scared by the movie. I thought it was really well done. Mm-hmm. And that little kid, the boy in the movie, is totally Swedish.
Yeah.
Like the hairstyle. He looked like.
It's like a 80s thing too, like he's got
the that's right, yeah, 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 it was based in the 80s, so okay, but that's how like people in Sweden dress now. Because you know they're really super, they're uber hip. And when I say uber, I mean that's how they say it over there. Uber.
So, all right. So, it didn't scare you.
It didn't scare me. But the part that did scare me is that when we rented the movie, we had to put it together, and it came with these really cryptic instructions.
Like?
IKEA. Yeah, where's my rim shot? Fuck.
Did it come with
an I was not prepared for that. I'm going to do that in post. I'm going to put that rim shot a little closer to that joke. Because okay. Then people know when to laugh.
So what about you?
Number five. Number five was a tie. It was a tie with me, and I'll tell you why. So number five, I had It, mm-hmm. the Stephen King
Clowns are scary.
Television movie adaptation. And
With Tim Curry,
yeah, who is fucking great in that role. And Poltergeist. Mm-hmm. Now, it was a toss-up with this, and I think it would have been It all the way, if not for the fact that the second half of the movie It is so shitty. Like, it just takes a turn for the worse. Like, it just gets really, really cheesy.
Turns into...
God, we brought it back to poop. So, I mean, that movie definitely, like, the first half of that movie made me afraid of clowns. Mm-hmm. And I think it did a lot of kids when that movie came out. And because it was on TV, a lot of kids saw it.
Yeah.
You know, and so, I mean, that movie definitely, like, the clown in that is super creepy. Tim Curry is super creepy in that clown suit. And, but yeah, the second half of the movie just kind of just flounders. And that's kind of what happens in a lot of Stephen King movies, too. Because mm-hmm. I don't know. He does a good job on his books, but when he gets involved with these movies, they just kind of turn into crap. But then Poltergeist came out when I was a kid. What year was that? Do you guys remember?
Oh, God, I don't know. 81, I would guess.
Yeah, it had to be pretty close because I think, yeah, I can't. I should look it up, but I'm not going to because I'm a little bit lazy. But Poltergeist freaked me out because I grew up on and near the Indian Reservation here in Washington State. And when they find that they find out that the Indians are doing, like, they're the ghosts that are, like, you know, they take the little girl through the TV and stuff like that. Like, that freaked my shit out because, you know, that could have happened to me, you know? Like, we could have built our house on top of, like, an Indian burial ground.
Maybe it did happen. Maybe you have a sibling you don't know about.
Maybe this is, like, kind of like a Matrix situation yeah. where I'm actually my real body.
Talk about meta.
Oh, wow.
Can I just make a comment about the clown thing?
Totally.
So, yes, I think clowns are... It seems like everyone's really creeped out by clowns. And I wonder, because my high school boyfriend had a reoccurring nightmare. Mm-hmm. This clown named Beepo. And he said that he would be... Like, in his dream, he would be on the playground and all the kids would be playing. And then all of a sudden, this clown would show up and all the kids would go screaming, running in different directions. And they would all hide. And wherever he was hiding, in each dream it was different, the clown would just stop and turn its head and look directly at wherever he was hiding.
Oh, see, that just sent fucking shivers up my neck.
Isn't that so fucking creepy? And to be young and constant and, like, have that. And
right,
then,
right.
And so as a way to, like, work through it, I think he liked to draw clowns a lot.
Uh-huh.
And I was supportive of this. And then my mom got it in her head that I liked clowns. So she started giving me clown figurines.
Oh, fuck.
Which is, like, the creepiest thing. She decided that I was going to collect them one day. And so I would get, like, little jesters and shit in the mail.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, that kind of stuff would creep me out. Another clown movie that really creeped me out back in the day, and this was kind of more 90s, I think. Late 80s, early 90s, was Killer Clowns from Outer Space. Did you guys ever see that movie?
Mm-hmm. You made me watch it with you one time.
Yeah. Okay, so you can attest to this then, that those are the creepiest clowns in a movie that you've ever seen, right?
They are pretty creepy.
Yeah, and so think about if you're like 9 years old and you saw that movie, and like that movie gave me... I should have wrote that down. That should have been on my top five. Killer Clowns from Outer Space. Whatever. Okay.
It's pretty cheesy.
It's very scary. Yeah, it's very cheesy. So It and Poltergeist, that's my number five. Okay, let's move on to number four here. Number four.
Whore.
Maraid. Yeah. What horror movie do you have?
So I actually only had that one.
Okay.
Fail.
I'm just going to move on to my list of favorites.
Okay. So your favorite what?
Movies. Just period. So... So number four, I would say, is Amelie.
Oh, that's a good one.
Well, she's a little bit of a whore.
No, I wouldn't say so. Not at all.
No? Okay. What about the guy with kind of the scrunched up face that's in that movie? That's in a lot
of
those.
He's kind
of a jerk. Well, yeah, but he's kind of a horror.
Guy with a scrunched up face? Which one?
You know
the one who works at the produce stand.
Oh,
his face looks like a boot. like an old leather boot.
All old French people have.
He's not old though. He's not. Boots. He's not old.
Huh.
He's not old. He may be a rapist.
I just love that movie because
I'm so not a raper.
I think it's very uplifting and just makes me happy every time I watch it. So number four.
That's your number four. Okay. Okay.
Well, speaking of love stories, let's talk about my number four.
Okay.
So it's called High Tension in English, but it's called something else in French, obviously.
Okay, this is a French film.
And I realize that my list is kind of snooty because I have lots of foreign films in it.
No, that's okay. That's okay. These are movies that freaked your shit out.
Yeah,
so
High Tension is one of those mindfuck films.
Okay.
And so not only is the main girl super hot, Cécile de France, you should look her up. She's fucking hot.
Okay, that's something I will not be lazy
lesbian,
about. I will.
Like lesbian undertones. Mm-hmm. So she's hot. She masturbates early on in the film.
Hot. Done.
And so the whole premise is she's in the country with her friend, in air quotes, and there's a serial killer on the loose, and he kills everyone in the family at this house they're staying at, and then kidnaps the girl.
Oh.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I remember seeing this, yes.
And
I did not see the actual movie, but I remember
really
seeing
good.
The... Yeah, she...
So she, like, throughout the film is trying to get her friend, in quotes, back from the serial killer. And then there's, like, a big twist, which... Can I spoil it if people haven't seen it?
So this is the woman that Krista thinks is really hot, Rady.
Is she covered in blood?
Yeah, she's covered in blood, and she's handling a
big saw.
A pipe saw.
Paper saw.
Yeah.
Awesome. So, and that one, because it's a mind fuck, and it's also, I think, maybe a story about a crazy girlfriend, you know, the crazy psychotic girlfriend who loses it.
Okay.
And what can happen if they lose it. So, without giving too much away of the film.
Whoa,
just,
this looks really good because there's a decapitated head in one of these pictures. So.
It is really good.
That looks pretty cool. I'm going to have to check that out.
So, it's both hot and scary.
Well, in France, it looks like it is called Hot Tension.
Mm-hmm. Oui.
Is that French or is that like...
That's French.
That's French? Yeah. Okay.
It's Hot H-O-U-T-E, Tension. H-A-U-T-E, right?
H-A-U-T-E. Mm-hmm. So maybe you should take a class or something.
Okay, number four.
Okay, number four for me, I have the Blair Witch Project.
Good one.
Yeah, and I remember it. Raid, you've seen this movie.
I haven't, actually.
You haven't seen that one?
Project.
Oh, man. I think we watched the number... Didn't we watch number two together? Blair Witch Project 2?
No, I haven't watched this at all. I am not into it.
You know, that was one that haunted me afterwards.
Boy, I'm so glad you're sitting in on this one.
I know, I'm really contributing
on this a lot. On this segment here.
As she's playing with masking tape. Obviously,
yeah, yeah.
She is just...
She's just thrilled
riveted.
To be here. She is thrilled to be here. Well, I remember seeing this movie and remember when the Blair Witch Project came out, like everybody was like, oh, it's true story. It's true story. And they totally played it up as a true story. When I went to see this movie, I didn't believe in the hype, but there's something like in the back of your head that makes you want to believe it.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes it easier to kind of fall into that a little bit. And I didn't necessarily believe that it was a true story because, first of all, if it was a true story and it was real footage from all these kids getting murdered, like, they wouldn't release that shit into fucking movie theaters, first of all. So let's be a little smarter as the American people here, people. You know, same thing with Paranormal Activity.
Right.
Not a fucking true story, guys. It's, they wouldn't release that shit into...
Although ghosts are real.
Yes, totally. I have a couple ghost stories that I could tell.
Ooh,
but so Blair Witch Project. So I went and saw this, and even though I didn't believe it, you know, whatever, that movie really freaked me out, especially the end scene. And if you haven't seen it, I'm sorry, but, you know.
Nobody puts baby in the corner.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. And when she, you know, the camera falls and all you see is the dude standing in the corner and hear that screaming. And then all of a sudden the screaming stops. You know, that shit was fucking freaky, man. And when they're coming up to the house, you know, and by the way, you know, if you haven't seen this movie, you should really go see it. But it's been long enough. Like, I think the what's the statute of limitations on the spoilers of this movie have passed. So but you should still go out and see this movie. I mean, it's definitely worth it. I remember seeing this movie and there was like people who got motion sickness in the theater and had to like run out. Because it was so, you know, it was making people throw up.
That's
but that movie, a good that, scary movie. Yeah, that movie gave me fucking like a little bit of nightmares. Mm-hmm. You know, like
did you
I couldn't
for sticks wherever you went, like right, little piles right. of stones
yeah.
and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was
that
creepy.
Was creepy. That
was very creepy. Shit. Very creepy, but mm-hmm. very good movie. Very good movie. Okay, so Rady, what's your number three? I guess we're down to number three here.
Zoolander.
Remind me not to think of
Just because you love it.
I love it. It is so funny, and it's on TV all the time, and I never get sick of it. And
that I can agree with, because when we first started dating, that's all you wanted to ever watch.
I know. It's just
with
so
Zoolander.
Funny.
Yeah.
Models, Blue Steel.
The last time I saw Zoolander, I was in Amsterdam, and I was high on a hash brownie.
Ooh.
Yeah, and I was like, and it kept getting more and more high because you eat it, and I eat too much. And at one point, I was like, I don't remember this movie being 3D.
So you were like ahead of the curve there with the 3D. You were just like, you know, all I have to do is
natural
take a pot
3D.
Brownie. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe you should have just brought some pot brownies with you tonight so we wouldn't have had to spend $15 on seeing that piece of shit.
Or Chris just is going to go home and eat one of those and then pop in our porno.
Right, right. She's like, I'd like to see this lesbian porno in 3D.
I am, actually.
Might as well.
Live action.
So Zoolander. Good pick.
Awesome.
Good pick.
Thank you.
Okay, number three, Krista.
Number three for me.
Scariest movies of all time.
Poltergeist.
Poltergeist.
Yeah.
Number three. Okay.
Because ghosts scare the shit out of me.
Right.
I do believe that they're real. And when it came out, I looked like her. Long blonde hair. And my sister would turn the TV to the static channel and ask me to stand in front of it with my hands on it.
Just to fuck with you, huh?
Just to fuck with her. She loved it. Like,
oh,
she
really?
Thought it was great.
How old
is
your sister?
She's 10 years older than me.
Oh, so, okay. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, and she would have me go there, here. Also, the toys coming to life, like the clown coming to life. Is my mom like to collect dolls that look like little children?
Puppet Master? Chucky?
Yeah. And I always like would kind of out of the corner of my eye, you know, sometimes you can see things moving, especially after that film. I would look at them and I would look in their eyes. And as long as they didn't have teeth, I was okay. But if they had teeth, then I was always afraid that they would come alive at some point.
And bite you.
Yeah, try to eat me.
Yeah.
So the clown and that, like being under the bed and pulling the kid under, like that really fucked with me.
I forgot about that scene. That was
fucked up. And then like just
up.
The fucked up shit like in the kitchen when she turns around and all the chairs are stacked and on the table.
Right,
and you don't
right.
hear a thing.
Yeah.
Like that. Oh, man. Because that stuff happens. Yeah.
All the time.
All the time.
Oh, my God. It just happened here. No. It didn't really. But you don't know that because this is radio. Kind of. Yeah. Yeah. I would, you know, and now that I think of it, too, like you just mentioned, like a bunch of scenes that I had totally forgotten about in mm-hmm. Poltergeist. And that was a really good movie.
Yes.
And especially
the guy, when he's like looking at himself and then he starts to freak out.
Yeah. And he starts
to
peel
off.
His face off. Oh, I got to see that movie again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
This house is clear.
And that woman. That's right.
She is
the
creepy.
Woman from 16 Candles.
Yeah. She was like supposed to be the savior of the day, you know, and she was like creepier than the fucking ghosts. Yeah. Yeah, good. That's a really good movie. That is definitely a really good movie.
Your number three?
My number three was The Shining.
Mm.
Or is The Shining. Because just the imagery of that movie really messes with you. And I actually saw the Shining when I was younger too. And they actually just talked about it on the latest episode of This American Life.
Yeah.
And like this guy, the guy that they were interviewing about it, I think isn't he like a producer of the show or something like that? And he was talking about it, and when he was telling his story of seeing that movie when he was a child and how it like messed with his sleep for so long. Like, I was just like, oh my God, yeah. You know, because I saw that movie when I was really young also. And it really did mess with me, especially the twin girls that were out in the hallway. And then the blood that falls out of the elevator. Mm-hmm. Some serious messed up stuff. And like they said in This American Life, which I had never really thought about before, but since it was like a lot of it, Kubrick filmed a lot of it from the perspective of the kid.
Yeah, I
like,
hadn't thought of that.
That really like hit home with me, and I was like, "That's it. That's it." That imagery of seeing everything from like you're almost looking up at it was like really speaks to being a child and being really freaked the fuck out, you know, of stuff. So that one really, really got to me, and I love watching that movie still because it still does kind of play with your fears a little bit, you know? And Kubrick, I mean, you know, that guy knew how to shoot a movie and knew how to make things very freaky. Because there are scenes in, like, Full Metal Jacket that are, like, really kind of scary, too. Like, they play with that kind of that horror movie aspect, you know, or scary movie aspect, you know, scenes in... One that I can specifically remember in Full Metal Jacket is where they're actually walking through the city where it's everything's burning and it's got that very ominous music that's playing and stuff and just everything's burning in the background. It's dark and, you know, they're in the middle of a fucking war zone. It's just like a horror movie. So Kubrick was good at that. Kubrick was very good at that. So what was that? Number three?
Yep.
That was number three? Okay, so now we're getting down to it here. Number two. Number two, your favorite movies of all time, Rady.
The Dead Poets Society.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. Not very scary. Not very scary.
It's depressing.
It's very depressing.
I like those movies.
Yeah. So what do you like best about that movie? Because that's a movie that you've actually owned for a long time. That's like one of the only movies that you have owned.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I still own it on VHS, so I can't actually watch it, but I've hung on to it.
Well, at least you don't have it on Beta. Betamax or anything like that. So what we got to get you engaged here. What do you like about that movie so much?
Well, first of all, I really like that this teacher is able to come in and really inspire this group of men you know, to learn and explore some, you know, areas that they haven't really
right.
Sounds
been
gay.
Exposed to before. I just think it's really great. And, you know, I watch it and I was like, oh, I wish, you know, I had a teacher like that in high school. And, you know, if a teacher like that had come in, I probably would have just, you know, like dropped out of the class because I would have thought it was annoying. But yeah, I just thought it was great that these guys got really into, you know, their Dead Poets Society. And it was pretty sad at the end where.
Right. Where everybody starts to murder each other and.
No, that's
There's
not what happened.
Blood all over the place. The Dead Poets Society is like.
There's nothing dead about
it. It's like a murderer on the loose that's killing
the
poets.
Are old. Yeah. And so
they
passed a while ago.
That's right. That's right. You didn't
one
follow the
men.
Horror movie.
No. You hadn't figured that out right. yet.
I just realized I've been drinking so much. Well, that's it. Yeah. And that's a good movie.
It's
a very good movie.
And I can
great.
Watch it over and over again.
Right. And
Robin Williams.
Robin Williams was great in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
He really kind of brought out his, because I think, wasn't that kind of the first movie where he kind of did some serious acting?
Air America. Or not Air America.
Air America was after that.
Wait, Good Morning Vietnam.
Was that before Dead Poets?
I'm making a guess. I think so.
It was probably around the same time.
Yeah.
Hmm. Okay.
When he took a turn. Yeah,
yeah. That was a good movie too, though. Yeah. Okay, number that was number two.
Yes,
that was your number two, Raid.
Yes, it was.
All right, number two, Krista.
So number two for me, I kind of teetered between two.
Mm-hmm.
For number two,
you got a tie.
Well, I'm gonna go with one, but
okay.
I'm gonna name check the other one.
Okay.
So
okay.
they're both super fucked up. Super fucked up. Like, fucked up, fucked up, fucked up. And take you on a ride.
Say fuck one more time.
Fuck. Fuck. Fuckity fuck fuck. Fucked up. So the one that I'm going with is Funny Games with Naomi Watts. And that guy.
That was a messed up movie.
It was just, it fucked with your head because you keep thinking, it, and they're so polite and so nice and such assholes.
Right. Yeah.
And the whole premise, like it's something that could happen. Mm-hmm. And you keep thinking, because in every horror film, the heroine gets away. At least someone gets away and gets help for. But this one was just it was unrelenting. And,
right.
And then there's a scene where, I don't want to give too much of it away, but where one of her loved ones is killed in front of her. Mm-hmm. And she, when she's crying, like she is just sobbing, but she's also trying to get away. And she has like this string of snot coming out of her nose. And it was just so real that it was haunting.
It was. And that movie really, you know, because I've always been a really good fan of like really gory movies. Mm-hmm. And that movie was a little too real for me.
Yeah.
Like I fancy imagine. Myself I'm a huge fan of like zombie movies and things like that, which are extremely gory. They're extremely graphic, but that one was like the acting was so good in it. Mm-hmm. It was way too much. And I actually we rented that a while back when it first came out on video, and I watched it before Mairead got home one day. And Mairead was like, oh, we got Funny Games. And I said, yeah, I sealed it back up and I sent it away because I was like, you're not going to want to see this at all.
You
like,
never want to see it. And even like the setup for the movie. So at the beginning, you know, they show, I think the music, it's like classical music and
showing them
riding through or driving through the woods to get to their lake house. Mm-hmm. And then at the end, it ends so abruptly, you know that they're just going to keep killing. And then that like death metal comes in.
Right.
It's
yeah,
so, like,
totally.
Jarring. And
yeah.
It just fucks with you even more.
Right.
And it's like, movie's over. Then I'm going to name check The Audition, which is a Japanese film.
The Audition. And I just actually, I read a little blurb on that earlier today when I was looking at some other lists on the internet. So why don't you give us a synopsis of that one?
So The Audition is about this guy who he loses his wife to cancer, and it's like 9 years later, and his son is like, Dad, I think you should get out there. But he's kind of shy. And so he has a friend who runs a movie studio and says, here's what we'll do. You'll come in and pretend you're a producer. We'll audition girls. And then if you see one that you like, you can ask her out to coffee. And so he meets this girl who's like this 23-year-old, mild-mannered, like, sweet girl. And the first indication you get that there's something really wrong is you see the phone ringing. He's calling her, and you see her apartment and the phone ringing. And she's, like, kind of in the fetal position next to it, just rocking. And then the camera pans over, and you see this burlap sack, and all of a sudden it moves.
Oh,
and you
God.
Realize that there's someone in that sack. And then at the end, there's this, like, 20-minute real-time torture scene. And then all of a sudden,
you keep on saying you don't want to give too much away, but you're giving away quite a bit.
No one should see it because it's so fucked up. Just don't even see it.
So it's kind of like Funny Games, where it's just like
it's so
the visuals are very disturbing.
I saw it at the Seattle International Film Festival actually years and years ago.
Okay.
And people were getting up and leaving because it was just
too much.
Yeah, it was just too much. And then there's a scene where, like, all of a sudden he wakes up. So she, you know, she comes out and she's got, like, the butcher apron on and this medical bag and acupuncture needles. And she's putting them all over and he's paralyzed. And then all of a sudden he wakes up and he's on vacation with her. And you're like, oh, my God, it was a dream. He just had this dream and he's looking at her and he's like, I just had this fucking dream where she's torturing the shit out of me. She's got piano wire, like, wraps it around his foot and does this, like, little, yeah, it's fucked up. So anyway, so he wakes up and he's looking in the mirror and he's like, oh, my God, like, how do I go back to bed with her?
Right,
and then wakes up. No, he just fell asleep. He just passed out from the pain. Dreamt that he was dreaming it, and it's actually happening.
So it just keeps on coming back.
It keeps on coming back. I'm so
Jesus.
Fucked up.
Jesus. Okay. Well, that sounds, I don't know. I might actually want to see that. I don't know, but Hostel was kind of like that too, where it was like, you know, in Hostel, I'm not saying Hostel was a good movie by any means. Like, definitely the acting wasn't very good at all or anything like that. But just like the subject material in that movie. You watched that with me, didn't you?
Yeah, I thought it was really scary.
Yeah, and I actually watched it like before I went to Venezuela for a month. And that, I would not recommend doing that.
Did you stay away from all big-breasted ladies while you were in Venezuela because of that?
Well, I did because I had a girlfriend. And her name was Mairead, and still is.
Good job, honey.
But her name back then was Mairead Gately.
No.
Now it's Mairead Gately Roden. Yeah, but that movie, like, Hostel, like, had some serious, like, really messed up overtones, but it had enough TNA in it that kind of evened everything out.
Oh.
You know?
Is that the formula?
I think so. I think so. If you have, like, a lot of TNA in the beginning of the movie, then you can make stuff really gory.
Maybe that's what they should do for people who are, like, dealing with post-traumatic stress disorder.
Just show them titties.
TNA. Because if that evens out trauma and horror, yeah.
Right.
Lots of TNA.
It might work. We should take this down south to the VA.
Hospital.
Yeah. Hey, we've got an idea, everybody.
I mean, you just need a government grant.
Yeah. We've got these whores that we got up at on Aurora, and we bring them in, and we just take their clothes off in front of the PTSD.
Can I just interject something about that really quick? Totally random.
Okay.
But I just read an article the other day about
Hoovers?
Yeah, about how the back, you know, in World War II, mm-hmm. you know, there were tons of STDs, like all the soldiers were coming back with gonorrhea, syphilis, whatever, and they hadn't figured out quite exactly the best way to treat it yet. So they were taking, down in Guatemala, they took infected prostitutes. And
oh, this was just on the news.
With, prisoners to get them infected with these diseases, and then they'd figure out how to treat them.
Oh my God!
Right?
Yeah. Can you believe
that was that? Just on that. That was just on the news a couple mm-hmm. weeks ago. Right? Wow. That's fucked up.
Yeah.
The government actually just apologized for that.
Yes. Just.
That's what that apology was for.
Wow.
So yeah, that was kind of off subject. So, it was kind of. I mean, it goes along a little bit with the movie Hostel.
And, you know, bringing prostitutes to the VA.
Right,
to
right.
treat PTSD.
Well, we would make sure that they had their whore cards to let us know if they had any whore diseases. Whore. Okay, so I think we're...
Ding.
Oh, no. I still have to do number two.
Okay.
My number two.
I forgot all about you already.
This movie freaked me out. This movie came out when I was in college. Really freaked me out. Like, I watched this movie a number of times because it was so well done and it was so scary that I just had to, like, share it with a bunch of friends of
Little
mine.
Mermaid?
No. It was Aladdin. No, I am talking about the movie The Ring, the American version of The Ring with Naomi Watts. Once again, she comes up.
Yeah.
That movie really scared me.
Is it the sound? Is the thing that creeps me out.
The sound?
The sound of the girl. She's like got that like.
Oh, just the way she moves though. Yeah. The way she moves, you know, everything's so twitchy and like just kind of like, you know,
mm-hmm.
oh God. And so rapid and stuff when all of a sudden she's like right next to you, you know?
And that staticky look.
Staticky look to it. You know, and that, like, the visuals in that movie were not that bad. It was a very psychological movie.
Mm-hmm.
And but they did show, you know, the occasional scene of, like, you know, a horse's eyeball getting really wide, like a horse was really freaked out and, you know, all that stuff. And maybe some, like, some worms or maggots or something mm-hmm. like that, you know. But, you know, those pictures by themselves, not gross, not grotesque. Doesn't really spark any like fear into you, but the way that they pieced that together
mm-hmm.
was just so, oh God, it just gave you this feeling of dread.
Yeah.
And I remember like watching that movie with a friend of mine named Dave, who was my roommate at the time. And we watched that movie in the dark in our little basement apartment that we lived in Ellensburg. And we were both squirming so much by the end of that movie that we had to turn on all the lights. And I mean, you know, we're two dudes in college afraid of the dark after watching that movie. I mean, it just freaked me out. I mean, this one didn't make your list, Krista, but didn't that?
I thought about it, actually.
You did?
I had it on there, and then I crossed it off in favor of other things. Yeah.
Okay. What number did you have it at?
I didn't. It was just
kind of on the boundaries.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, The Ring, my number two. So let's get to number one here. You ready, Rady?
I'm ready.
Okay, hold on just a second. Let me cue this up here. Okay, number one on Moraine's list of non-scary, non-horror, and non-horror movies. Here we go.
A Little Princess. It is my absolute favorite movie.
The movie about the orphan or the dad is in, like, what, World War One or
yeah,
something like that?
Yeah, World War One. He's fighting for the British Army. He sends his daughter to a boarding school in the United States. She's, like, six or something, nine, I don't know.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, he sends her to this, like, boarding school. He's very wealthy, so she gets the nicest room in the boarding school. She has the nicest dolls and toys and everything. And then a couple months go by, and the school receives a note that her father's died in the war, and he doesn't have any money to leave for her because he hadn't made arrangements or something. And so then she has to be a servant in the school, and everything's taken away from her, but she's just such a great girl. She has such a great heart, and she, like, just everybody loves her, and despite the fact that everybody's mean to her. And then in the end, turns out her dad's not dead. He just had amnesia.
Oh.
Such a happy,
so
happy
out.
Story.
Wow.
Such
so
a happy
good.
Story.
Oh. And there's a monkey and stuff.
I will say this. That movie, Mairead has made me watch that movie more than once. This.
I like that movie.
Very scary. Very scary.
There was a war scene, so.
Oh, man.
Super scary. I believe it's scary. A G-rated war scene.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. There's no blood. Yeah. Yeah. Nobody gets shot in the land of Disney. Okay. So let's see. Let's cue this drum roll up. Number one in Krista's list of scary movies. What do we got?
The Shining.
You put Shining as number one. Yeah. I think a lot of people will agree with you, too.
It is still my go-to. Yeah. Like, it still creeps me out and scares me. And I've seen it probably, like, 10 times. And I read the book. And
The book was great.
And
that's
the
a good
whole
book.
Thing about, like, he, in the book, and they don't really talk about it in the movie. Well, I guess they do, kind of. But the fact that he's an alcoholic, and that plays
right.
into this whole, like, man who's just going crazy and just dissolving, and mm-hmm. And the things that can go on in your head when that's happening, and he's seeing things, and Danny is like the only one who can also see things, and
right
and yeah, some of the imagery, definitely the little girls and definitely the blood, but also, like, there's so many quiet movies in that film. Like, when he's typing, and he's in that huge room, and then occasionally takes a break, and he's just, like, throwing the ball. And just all these,
right,
like, monotonous
right.
moments that would drive anyone crazy. And you just get such a sense of isolation.
Mm-hmm.
And then Danny, when he's riding around his little Hot Wheel, and you hear him, like, over the wood, and then over the carpet.
Yeah, over the carpet.
Over the wood.
That was very great. Good, well done scenes in that. And that's what I was talking about, too, like... You know, now that I think about it, I should have put The Shining a little bit higher on the list. I don't know. The Shining didn't really freak me out as much as, like, The Ring and then my number one did. But, mm-hmm. I mean, still just a fantastic movie. And that's definitely a movie that you can watch, like, over and over again, too. And they do, you know, like, Stanley Kubrick did a really good job doing the movie version of that book.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he even though they didn't really talk about the alcohol issue, like, just the scenes where he's in the bar and he looks like a fucking disheveled drunk.
Yeah.
In the bar scenes, you know. And so I think he did right by the book and showing that kind of stuff visually instead mm-hmm. of just talking about it. So that's good number one.
Yeah.
Good number one. Good number one to you too, Rady.
Thank you.
Yeah. So let's get to my number one, because we're getting a little long in the tooth here. Okay, my number one is a movie that still sticks with me today, still haunts me to this day, and I still have trouble swimming in deep water because of this movie. And of course, you can guess what it is, and.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
We definitely need a bigger boat for this guy. Jaws. Jaws is my number one top scariest movie of all time. My mother made the mistake of letting me watch this movie when I was like, I think about 5 or 6 years old. Because for some reason we were getting HBO for free. And that definitely did me in for the rest of my life, I will say. I still, to this day, I cannot go into deep water without getting freaked the fuck out. Seriously. And it's debilitating, man. Because I'm constantly thinking, whenever we're on, like, the ferry boat or something like that, like, if we go down, if the ferry boat goes down, I'm done. I'm just going to drown because I'm gonna die of, like, heart palpitations because I'm going to think, like, this big, gigantic, great white shark in the Puget Sound is going to come and eat me.
So that just reminds me. Remember that other movie that came out? Like it was called Open Water, where the
couple. Oh my God, that's a good. I didn't even think of that one, but that one was fucking scary,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, and they have to make the decision. Like we know we're not gonna make it.
Right, right.
So.
And you know,
take off all
you know,
their shit and
yeah.
See ya.
And they say this a lot on some of the movies and stuff. But that was that movie was based on a true story, mm-hmm. a true happening. Now they don't know whatever happened to those people. They never even actually found their bodies. Mm-hmm. But wow,
yeah.
Can you even? I can't even
imagine.
Fucking
just
imagine
hours
that.
And
I mean,
I'm like hoping and everything, like, and thinking
oh,
maybe
God.
They're coming back. That would just be torture.
Right. And that's, you know, that to me, after seeing the movie Jaws, like dying in the water is like the worst fear of mine, I think. Like they remade this movie called the Poseidon Adventure.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Mm-hmm. Oh, that was horrible.
The Kurt Russell scene where he goes in to like save everybody by like swimming down into the belly of the ship and like trying to turn something off, you know, whatever one of those scenes are, you know, they're in every deep water movie. But the scene where he drowns in this room underwater is so real and so well acted, like him drowning. It's like you almost think like he must have actually drowned for real and then they had like an emergency crew just to like bring him back to life because it is fucking heart-wrenching to watch. And it just looks like one of the most painful ways to go. Well, I don't know. Now they say that I kind of... Because don't you pass out? You kind of pass out when you don't get enough oxygen.
And depending on how deep you are, sometimes like they get what is it called? The like sense of euphoria. Where like they'll find divers who get that thing where something happens in their brain, like they've mm-hmm. gone down to I forgot what it's called, rapture.
Oh,
and they'll like take off all their gear, all their scuba gear, and it's like they see something goes wrong in their brain, and they're like, I can breathe under, and then they die. They like take everything off their mask.
I have never heard of that.
That's insane.
That sounds like the way to go, though.
I think about that. Like if you are drowning, like yeah, your body struggles, but then at some point. I wonder if it's just like, but I think like being caught on fire. But then again, like your nerves would deaden. So how?
Yeah,
long
but
would
still,
you,
like that would be super
and you
fucking
would
painful.
Oh. Or you know, having to chop your leg off with a saw.
Oh my God!
Or your dad is killed in the war and you're poor,
but you still have a good attitude and you treat everybody really kindly.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're in an orphanage where they don't treat you very well.
Yeah, there was this movie, not to go on forever, but there was this movie that I saw in college called, I think it was called Zeitgeist or something. It was some foreign film. And at the end, the guy...
Is that the one? Oh.
And it's black and white, and it's like some, I don't know, it wasn't very good. But
right.
This part, I remember, the guy, he has to dive down, and basically, like, he's going to die. He's going to drown. And there's a voice over that comes in, and it just goes, 10. 9 8, and you see this guy struggling, and you know, like, it's tick, tick, tick.
Right, right.
Yeah, and then it goes down to 1, and he's dead. But just to have, like, the last 10 seconds be counted down like
that. Ugh. Oh, my God.
It's really creepy.
Well, I think that is the perfect spot to end the show, this Halloween edition of AirRaid.net. Thanks to everybody for listening.
Thanks for making it through.
And Krista, thank you for coming on.
I showed up.
It's a pleasure to have you, the lesbian friend. And hopefully soon we'll try to get the rest of the ladies on here, because, like I said, people like it. So, thanks again for coming, and Rady, thank you for stepping in and being
job,
a trooper
Rady.
Here.
Thank you.
And making a list that does not pertain to what we wanted to talk about. So we're going to go out today with another beefy song from his album With Sprinkles. This song is called Game Store Girl. And remember to tune in next week, because we've got Sean DeTore from Too Beautiful to Live, the one of the most popular podcasts in America right now.
Him?
Just emailed him, man.
Oh.
Yeah, and a little dick sucking. he's a very cool guy. He's got his fingers in a lot of different things around town. He has his own podcast called The Mixtape. He works for Cairo as an audio engineer for some of the radio shows there. And he also does a quiz night at Snooze Junction in Ballard every Sunday. So you should go check that out. But yeah, he's coming on next week. He's going to be on episode 19. So make sure you listen to that one. And have a great week, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. I'm not feeling silly. Matter of fact, I'm feeling weak. Because I think I got no shot, but she's shooting me a wink. Game store girl, I've got a crush. Let me take you to the food court. I'll buy you lunch. Discount at the pencil place. She buys me a soda pop. She gets all my in-jokes, and I never want this game to stop. Game store girl, I've got a crush. Let me take you to the food court. I'll buy you lunch. Discount at the pencil place. She buys me a soda pop. She gets all my in-jokes, and I never want this game to stop. I'm not rich, and I don't have a degree. But she only cares that I'm a fan of TMNT. And just a cartoon, because she didn't like the movie. Says that she's a fan of Evil Dead, and so I say that's groovy. But please don't tell her I ain't seen the flick. Says she doesn't like smokers, so I throw away the Bic. Her manager, he tells me that I shouldn't stay in order, but I do not give a damn about her needle neck employer. I can't go home, cause I stubbed my toe. If I can't be with this woman, might as well just be alone. Still too brash, I invite her to my pad. We could beat up Koopa Troopers while I code on Super Bad. She smiles and she laughs and she pats me on my head. She says, sorry, Cookie Belly, but I gotta go to bed. But you can have this poster when you see it, think of me. I'll think of you when you're all famous and you're on TV. Game store girl, I've got a crush. Let me take you to the food court. I'll buy you lunch. Discount at the pencil place. She buys me a soda pop. She gets all my in-jokes, and I never want this game to stop. Game store girl, I've got a crush. Let me take you to the food court. I'll buy you lunch. Discount at the pencil place. She buys me a soda pop. She gets all my in-jokes, and I never want this game to stop. Here's the thing. I really like you. And I don't have to try at all just to entice you. Love, excite, bike. You could beat up Mike Tyson. I think in less than 5 years I could see you as my wife. But here in the present.